Well, we're going to continue this conversation now. I'm going to bring in an expert. I'll bring the professor Steve Doolin on to talk about the parents in this case for this shooting in Oxford High School. Doolin, good to have you as always.
Thanks, Gruber. Glad to be here.
I knew you were. Of course you are. But here's what we were talking about before the break, and that is that you've got this monster that wanders the halls shooting his classmates. I have no idea how soulless and dark you have to be to do such a thing, to aimlessly kill people for no rhyme and no reason. Maybe you were picked on, and I'm so what? But what really bothers me is this gun was bought on Friday, Black Friday. And the father, did he not know where it was? Did he not have any idea? He's got a kid with behavioral problems who's been in the office several times. The day before, he's there with his wife because the kid has behavioral problems 2 hours before this mass massacre goes on. And so what are the laws? If it's found that this guy... Well, if he knew his gun was missing and didn't say anything, then he is absolutely criminally responsible, in my mind. But if he doesn't know where his gun is, and you've got a kid with behavioral problems, and you know that, and you don't have any idea where your gun is, the one you just bought that's brand new, tell me your point of view.
Well, he's got potential problems legally because of the known tendency of this of his child to be violent, apparently. And, you know, the prosecutor hasn't charged yet, so we don't know exactly what might be coming down the road. But there's no general duty to store guns in any specific way in statute. So you don't have child access prevention statute in Michigan as exists in some jurisdictions. And, you know, this is something that, we lawyers run into all the time is people learning law from television, frankly, usually, but, you know, from the media, from other jurisdictions. So there are states that have these cap statutes, and they're very specific about how guns have to be stored. Most states don't. The vast majority of states don't, including Michigan. But where there's a minor, especially a minor with known issues, who gets a hold of a firearm and does something awful with it like this, there is a potential for criminal charges and certainly for civil lawsuits. And the word that the prosecutor used in the press conference was gross negligence. And we lawyers draw a line between ordinary negligence and gross negligence. And the line is beyond reasonableness. Negligence is carelessness. It's sort of an oops and something bad happened. But gross negligence is, oh, my God, what were you thinking? This is beyond the pale. You know, and I'm obviously...
I understand that, because what could you possibly be thinking? To allow this child had obvious behavioral issues. This child, this monster, clearly had behavioral issues. It was obvious to the school. The parents have been called in. And here's the thing, Doolin, that blows my mind. If you get called into the office, a kid shows up, plops his backpack down, sits there with his parents, we're getting... That gun could have been sitting right there. The whole, the gun was on campus when his parents were there. Had to be there.
Well, that's entirely possible.
He didn't go home in the interim. He didn't go home between, right?
Well, that also highlights the folly of so-called gun-free zones when you don't have security in place, like magnetometers and security guards and that kind of thing. So this happens sometimes when you go into courthouses and they've got a sign on the door that says this is a gun-free zone or a pistol-free zone or a weapons-free zone, and there's a magnetometer there with a dust cover over it and no security guard. You know, you see that sometimes in some courthouses. And you think, well, okay, they've got a sign, but they don't have any actual security. That's fairly common too. So that's a separate issue, but that's another problem. Is declaring a place to be gun free doesn't make it gun free,
right? But it's remarkable. I mean, okay, so let just for the sake of argument, in Michigan, if this father knew that his kid had behavioral issues and didn't secure his gun, didn't know where it was not in his direct control at all, will he face charges, or could he?
Yeah, he could. And, you know, you've got prosecutorial discretion, and we saw the abuse of prosecutorial discretion, in my opinion, in the Rittenhouse case just recently, because prosecutors are supposed to make decisions based on not only what's possible under the law, but what's in the interest of justice and what's provable in court. So I don't know the underlying facts of this case.
Tell you this. If what I'm saying, I mean, obviously his gun was not in his possession, his monster of a child, but clearly civil exposure here. No question about that.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Because the civil exposure is, first off, it's a lower standard of proof. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's more likely than not. There was certainly some kind of at least a question here. And, you know, you can tell I'm hesitating because it's not my case. I don't know.
I understand that.
All the details.
No, I know
but
that.
It's possible. I'm with you. It's possible. And
listen, people can file lawsuits over just about anything.
Well, true. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's job security.
So, but in this case, here's what we do know. The kid murdered his classmates. Fact. He murdered his classmates with his father's handgun. Fact. His father did not have control of that handgun. Fact. I don't know that you need to know anything else for that for a civil lawsuit. Dylan, I got to leave it there.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's outrageous. If you've got a kid with behavioral problems, don't be an idiot. Know where your guns are. Thank you, Dylan.
Well, that's great advice for all of us who own guns. Don't be an idiot.
Exactly. Don't be an idiot. Thank you, Dylan. All right, quick break. I'll be right back.